Today, I'm reaching out to a wonderful person who's been here several times. She is a corporate responsibility leader at PricewaterhouseCoopers. That means she's got to be either a vice president or a president or whatever, but for our purposes. Shannon Schuyler is a delightful person to talk to about a program. Let me go back a little bit and tell you that the President's Advisory Council on Financial Capability for Young Americans released its final report in July. And the President and Secretary of the Treasury regarding recommended approaches to improving financial knowledge and skills among young Americans, your children, my children, our children. As part of this report, the Council noted specific partnerships between the private sector, specifically PricewaterhouseCoopers' support of Digital Promise, and Shannon will tell us what that is, which develops a pilot to test whether teachers who become more comfortable and confident with personal finance topics and effective teaching strategies will be better equipped to teach these concepts. Simply put, folks, you can't teach what you don't know. And so the idea is to make sure that teachers, just like us, everyday people who have the responsibility of teaching our young people, know what they're talking about. It's very simple. The pilot will provide access to tools powered by digital technologies to improve teacher motivation, confidence, and skills. And, of course, Shannon and PricewaterhouseCoopers, they've been an integral part of this program, and I'm delighted now to welcome you to the program. Shannon, nice to have you with us again.
Oh, it's always wonderful to be here. Thank you so much.
You know what I like about PricewaterhouseCoopers? You put your money where your mouth is. You put your money where you believe in. And tell us, how much have you put into this program so far in the support of this financial education of young people?
Sure. Well, we initially started in 2012 with a commitment of $160 million. And this past year, we added another $30 million. To it. So we have now $190 million commitment. And what we just keep finding is that there's other things we can do. There's other partners that we can work with really to make what we're doing more robust. And so we get more and more excited about what we really can put our money towards. And so now really looking at teachers and looking at technology are two fundamental things that we just feel the more we can invest in, the better off we really have a way to have people have more upward mobility opportunities.
Folks, if you wonder why PricewaterhouseCoopers is on this program, if you wonder why we turn back to Shannon, if you wonder why we think there are people that you ought to listen to and follow as an example, and I say that they don't, but I do, it's because we're talking about $190 million dedicated to making this a stronger America by educating our young people. Thank you for that. Let's talk about the program and what the Digital Promise and how that works. What is the Digital Promise? Explain to us what we're talking about here.
Absolutely. So one of the things, and you mentioned that came out of the report, was really needing to go in to teach the teachers and finding more innovative ways to take teachers, especially in that third grade, sixth grade actually, to ninth grade, and really help them to understand how to be able to teach financial capability. And not teachers who are already engaged in math and those type of courses, but ones who might not have that type of exposure. And so how can we really leverage technology and that same type of thing that we do with students around badging or micro credentialing, and so really to have them be able to take different types of courses online to really beef up their knowledge around financial literacy and to test this whole hypothesis if, in fact, they're given the tools to understand financial literacy and concept more for themselves, will that also help them to be better teachers of it within the classroom? And is it really that the more comfortable they are with the materials, the more they'll want to teach it? And so really trying to figure out how can we invest in teacher education in ways that haven't been done before, and to see how that will really motivate teachers then to come up with their own innovative solutions to really drive more learning around finances in the classroom.
So the pilot here is providing access for teachers to understand the digital technologies that are out there so that they can become more efficient in terms of teaching.
Absolutely. And the other thing that it does, it really gives teachers the opportunity to gain recognition for their competencies and their personal finance training and their skills. Because one thing we've learned is that teachers learn best when they can teach other teachers. And so we wanted to make sure that we were really highlighting and elevating teachers who are learning and who find different ways and grasp the knowledge in a way that they can also then pass along to their peers. And we're finding that that really will then allow more and more and more teachers to have the skills necessary to be able to teach this in the broadest way possible.
Fascinating. And when I come back, I'll ask you how broad based is this program right now? We know $190 million is a lot of money. How many people are you actually affecting? My guest, Shannon Schneider from PricewaterhouseCoopers. We're talking about ways to teach your children, at first by teaching the teachers. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, here on Radio America. Thank you for joining us. We'll be right back with more. Guest, she's one of the responsibility leaders in a program that's designed to educate the teachers so that the teachers can teach. And at that point, we start a process where we're really learning how to be good consumers. Shannon, how widespread is the program right now?
Well, it's interesting. Earn Your Future, over the last several years now, we have spent 700,000 hours of time teaching within classrooms, helping teachers. And we've reached about 1.5 million teachers and another, or 1.5 million students, another about 40 to 50,000 teachers.
Wow.
And so it is incredibly widespread. I mean, it's one of the broadest commitments that's made out there by a corporation. And what we're trying to do is leverage the fact that we're in across the country with over 90 offices. And interestingly enough, it is also being picked up a lot overseas. And so we have it translated into several different languages and have found out that certainly not being financially literate is not just a U.S. issue, but it's one that other countries really suffer from. And so really, to your point, this is something that a student, when they learn it, they carry it with them for life.
Absolutely.
And if they don't learn it, they also carry it with them for life. And unfortunately, then that doesn't help them as they're looking to progress and really to prosper.
Yeah, and let's face it, my parents didn't teach me for a variety of reasons, but one of them was that they didn't know. They just didn't really. They were working class, working hard. They didn't have time to sit down and say, here are the things that you should know. So the only place that I could learn, and I think that's the case for lots of thousands of others, if not hundreds of thousands, is that they could learn it in school. And if the school doesn't teach it, then you go through your young years growing up, becoming an adult, and you just are as ignorant as your parents and their parents. And it can change. It has to change, doesn't it?
No, it absolutely does. And really now with what schools are like, really leveraging technology in the classroom to be able to pull different types of content that makes sense for that individual classroom and for that teacher, and to really be able to expand financial access through technology is so critical, because as you know, we can just as easily leverage technology to be our friend as we can to make very quick, very poor decisions because of how much technology works for us and then sometimes works against us.
And I think the point that you're making here is that for those who think that technology is not good, if it's properly used and if it's understood, it can work wonders. It can really grow the dimensions of the program.
No, absolutely. And what we're really finding is that students, they want to be engaged in technology. And so we right now are going through a process of taking all of the financial literacy modules that we've developed and we're digitizing them all. And so teachers will have the ability to use it more in a blended classroom style. And so they can teach things in person and you can have PWC within the classroom. But then also either if we can't get there or to stimulate students in another way, they'll be able to access it online and really be able to look at different videos and different types of things that make it even more engaging for students. And we believe that the more chances they have to learn, the stickier that this is going to become. And when suddenly they need to know that knowledge, it will be there for them.
Yeah, I get that. And I get that this program is tremendously successful. So I'm going to assume, I'm assuming that other companies like PwC or on that nature are just rushing in to do the same thing and to join this party. Is that right?
You are completely accurate in that. We have a lot of other organizations that are looking to do the same type of thing. I've been amazed at how much people want to partner together. The collaborations that have come out of this, corporates to corporates, academics, really bringing them into the fold, nonprofits, it's really been something that has united groups across industries to say, together, we could actually help to solve this issue. And the insights that you get from really that cross-sector collaboration has been incredibly exciting, and it's led to some really innovative solutions.
This is wonderful stuff. My guest is Shannon Schneider from PwC, PricewaterhouseCoopers. They're talking about a program. It's now being studied and looked at through the president's financial committee, and it's a wonderful way that we can increase the knowledge of our children's financial capabilities in school. When we come back, we'll talk about the other commitments that PwC is making in this, and more than just money. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. My guest, Shannon Schneider from PricewaterhouseCoopers. We're talking about this program that's in place now that's aiding teachers to learn how to be better financial teachers, financial education teachers. You talked about the money, Shannon, which is $190 million that your company has invested. But it has to take a lot of your people, too, and you didn't mention that. You've got a lot of people working on this, a lot of folks, I guess, who volunteer as part of their corporate responsibility.
Absolutely. One of the things that we wanted was some kind of effort where our people could take their financial skills and really put it to work. In the U.S., we have about 45,000 people, and over 60% of them have spent time teaching financial literacy, which is an incredible number of people who are out there in their local schools and inner city schools really saying that we want to be a part of this and we want to figure out how it not only will help our communities, but it'll help the future talent that we work with both within PwC as well as those that are out in the general marketplace.
Yeah, that's so important you have good people who know what they're talking about who join in. And I suspect for the folks who work at PricewaterhouseCoopers, there's got to be a pretty good feeling when you come out of a school or come out of a classroom where you know you've made a positive difference, not only in the lives of teachers, but in the lives of students.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you come out and you have students that will keep in contact with us or teachers, and they send us notes, or the first time the light bulb comes off when they get their first check of their part-time job and realize that money was taken out, but they knew it was going to be taken out. I mean, it's wonderful how they reach out, and our people have learned so much from it, too. It's helped them to really be able to get a group together and to make sure they're really good at developing their interpersonal skills and their training skills and really being able to explain things in a way that people can truly grasp.
Yeah, it's just great stuff. Now, let's talk about the final report. There were lots of things in it. Some I know about, some I don't. What was most impressive to you? Or what were you most impressed by?
Well, they put together a lot of different recommendations. One certainly is to simplify student aid. And so it's still very complex and confusing for students to be able to find out the best way to get additional dollars to go to higher ed. And in fact, you have a lot of students who decide not to even apply to certain schools because they don't think they can get the money. And so that's something that we certainly need to work out. They've also really said the bonus is to how do you connect youth employment opportunities to financial aid? Again, that people have an appreciation for the work that they do and how they'll be paid because that's very tangible.
Mm-hmm.
And most students don't realize that money is taken out for different benefits, for taxes, et cetera. And what does that look like? Also really focusing on making sure that students are led to the right products for them. Because unfortunately, different financial institutions, the products that they have may or may not be right for a student.
Mm-hmm.
And really trying to make sure that they eliminate that gap. And I think one that's incredibly important is really understanding the specific needs of traditionally underserved populations. So really realizing that building financial capability is critical to upward mobility.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you really address those groups in ways that they will understand more and more? And also, how do you address those groups that their families will understand? Because you have many different families living under a certain roof.
We're out of time, of course. And now, there's a lot of things we touched on. How can they reach out to find out more information? Any place they can go that you can send them to?
Absolutely. I think the President's Advisory Council on Financial Capabilities for Young Americans, the report is out there. It's on the treasury.gov site. So take a look at that as well as pwc.com and take a look at what we're doing around Earn Your Future.
Well, what you're doing is wonderful. I love you for taking time to be with us. You're always welcome. So come back when you have more to talk about. Thank you so much, Shannon.
Thanks.
You bet. Coming up next, the author of The Book on Retirement. The Book? Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.